Entertained a motion to come out of executive session back into regular session?
Yes.
Steven? Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We're now back in regular session. Mr. Moore, any possible action on executive session items?
No, we discussed the items that were listed on the agenda and got and received updates from the legal counsel, but there's nothing to report at.
In that case, we're now at time for public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken in consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present, explain their application, and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the P&Z Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And Mr. President, this afternoon we have a change of zone and a conditional use, both filed on behalf of Lockwood Design and Construction, Inc. And as we've done many times in the past, when we have two change of zone conditional use like this, it will be one public hearing, but we will have to act on them separately.
That's fine.
Okay, Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. The two applications I have to read into the record for the purpose of the record is change of zone number 1796, the application of Lockwood Design and Construction Incorporated, is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district and to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 35.45 acres more or less. This property is located on the northeast side of Warrington Road, Road 275, 1/4 mile southeast of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24. The 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 334, Map 12, Parcel 127.02, 127.04, and 127.05. Conditional use number 2046, the application of Lockwood Design and Construction Incorporated is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MR, medium-density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 35.45 acres, more or less. Property is located on the northeast side of Warrington Road, Route 275, 1/4 mile southeast of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24. 911 address is not available. Tax map ID is District 334, Map 12, parcels 127.02, 127.04, and 127.05. They are the same location, that's pretty obvious. The County Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this applications on March 24th of 2016. During that public hearing, the commission was advised that we had received four letters of opposition to the application. The applicant was present, being Mr. and Mrs. Robert Hood, Pete Momberg, Don Lockwood, and John Barwick of Lockwood Design. Were present with Gene Byard, Esquire of Morris James Wilson Howbrook and Byard Professional Association, and gave testimony into the record for the purpose of the application. There were no parties present in support of the application at the commission public hearing. There were six parties present in opposition to the application giving testimony. At the conclusion of the public hearing on March 24th, the commission did defer action on both applications for changes in 1796 and 2046 conditional use. And on April 14th of 2016, the commission discussed both applications under old business. In reference to change of zone 1796, there was a motion by Mr. Ross that he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1796 for Lockwood Design and Construction Incorporated from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an MR medium density residential district based upon the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the property is located in an area where there are existing zonings from AR1 to MR, some limited HR and commercial. There are also some conditional uses in the vicinity with densities that are compatible with MR zoning. MR zoning is an appropriate zoning for this location under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The MR zoning, which is consistent with surrounding uses and zonings, will not adversely affect the neighboring properties or community. The MR zoning will be supported by Central Sewer, supplied by Sussex County. The site is served by a central water system. The rezoning to MR zoning is supported by the purpose clause of the MR district as set forth in the Sussex County Zoning Code. For all these reasons, it is my motion to approve the request to rezone this property to MR medium density residential district. Off my page here. Not too many pages. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that this application be conditional use, or excuse me, change of zone 1796 be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion did carry 4-0. In reference to the conditional use application being conditional use 2046, Mr. Ross stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 2046 for Lockwood Design and Construction Incorporated for multifamily dwelling structures based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan supports the development since the land is located in a developing area according to the plan. Two, the development will be consistent with surrounding developments that include other multifamily uses. Three, the development will not adversely affect neighboring properties, roadways, or communities. Four, the development will be required to comply with all DLDOT requirements, including entrance improvements and improvements to the Warrington Road and Old Landing Road intersection. Five, the multifamily development will be served by Central Sewer provided by Sussex County. Six, the multifamily development will be served by Central Water. Seven, the proposed development at a density of approximately 5.7 units per acre is consistent with surrounding densities and is appropriate for this location. 8, the proposed site plan will conserve about 21.2 acres of open space with the preservation of woodlands. All of this will be confirmed through the conditions of approval and the site plan process. 9, this recommendation is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 202 units within the development. As proffered by the applicant, this shall include a minimum of at least 60 single-family units. B, the applicant shall form a homeowners or condominium association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sedimentation control facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices to provide for positive groundwater recharge. D, all entrances and roadway improvements shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements, and an area for a school bus stop shall be established. The location of the school bus stop shall be coordinated with the local school district. E, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. F, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. G, a 20-foot forested agriculture buffer shall be shown along the perimeter of the entire development. The final site plan shall also contain a landscape plan for all the buffer areas, showing all the landscaping and vegetation to be included in the buffer area. H, the project shall be served by Sussex County Sewer. I, as proffered by the applicant, the developer shall construct the pool and community building no later than the issuance of the 75th residential building permit for the project. J, as proffered by the applicant, the interior street design shall comply with or exceed Sussex County minimum standards and shall include sidewalks on at least one side of all streets in the development. K, construction site work, grading and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall occur from Monday through Saturday between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. and use Route 24 to get access to the site. L, the application shall consult and coordinate with local school district's transportation manager to establish appropriate school bus stop locations. M, this preliminary approval is contingent upon the applicant submitting a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting the conditions of this approval on it. Staff shall approve of the revised plan upon confirmation that the conditions of approval have been depicted or noted on it. And then the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that this application be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0. Mm-hmm. For the benefit of the record, re-looked at the file earlier today, and just for the purpose of notice, staff sent out approximately 240 plus letters announcing this application, and we received 16 mail returns, which isn't bad considering what we've had years past. We used to get a lot of mail returns. And there were, now we have 7 letters in opposition that are not duplicated. That's just the number of residents that wrote. And we, actually, one of those 7 was the same party, but they wrote 2 different letters, so have to count those as separate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any questions from council?
I want to make a note that it looks like it's, mm-hmm. Maybe y'all think it's in my district, but it's in Mr. Cole's district.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I guess you just have to go ahead with it. He doesn't have the opportunity.
Here, yeah. We can just, defer that at the
okay, end. And I need some numbers. If it were AR1, just as it is now, how many homes would be like Idlewild Estates, just AR1.
AR1?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's because it's got central sewer, you get approximately 2 units to the acre, 70.
But we're talking of 5 units per acre.
Plus or minus, because every site's different because of stormwater management features that have to be provided.
Okay.
You got to deduct the streets that are put in.
Right.
And so the buffer generally zone takes out that much more, so probably less than 70. On AR1 subdivision.
AR1, you're saying there would be how many per acres? How many houses per acre?
Two,
okay.
Because it's got sewer.
Exactly. Okay, and then we're looking at five.
So you're actually going to get less because of the deduction of streets, deduction of stormwater, deduction
of both of them. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Mr. Lang, what is the, I see at one time they applied for an HRRPC.
They did.
And now they're back for an MR.
Right.
What are they giving up? Or why are they doing
application that? Is basically the same. They're going for rezoned MR, and they're applying for a site plan approval as if it were a conditional use.
Wasn't there a question before that there was some concern that if that there would be the HR left there if the conditional use was not built, and that's why they went back and did the
other? If you're HR and didn't do the RPC, you could come back in with a site plan and build 12 units to the acre.
Okay.
I wasn't getting the question right.
So
basically your question, Mr. Vinson.
Yeah. Now, are there any MR zoned areas around this?
There's an MR zoning scattered around this down Old Landing Road for one, because there's several MR RPCs along Old Landing Road.
Okay.
Is Sandy Bray MR?
Sandy Bray is all MR.
Right, it's NR.
Yeah. That's the MR subject.
And but Idolite is just
Idolite's AR1
subject. AR1.
Robin did hand me a copy of a email that came in from members of the Sterling Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a, I can read it, it's not very long. If you want.
I like to hear the point.
Oh, and they're in opposition to the application.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. I have that. Just came today. I didn't get this one.
And what is their development? Is it an MR? Is it an AR zone land? What's
Sterling Crossing is a, I'm trying to remember. It's a multifamily project, and it's probably the same or higher density.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
They have a road coming through very soon.
Yeah, in fact, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you looked at the site going toward Warrington Road, you have the estates of C. Chase, and then Sterling Crossing. One is basically single family condominiums, detached. The next one is a mixture of detached and multifamily structures, Sterling, and then the next one will be Sterling Crossing, which will be multifamily.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into the, backs up to the acreage for the BB medical facility on 24.
The Sterling Crossing that the letter comes from, what is their density per acre in that project?
I'd have to look.
Any idea?
I'd have to look.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, sure. I don't know. But I'm just wondering.
It's multifamily. It's,
yeah. We didn't have anybody here from Denrec today. Del Mar.
Not that I see.
About the traffic. Then any changes might be made to.
Now, as I said by the commission, what was presented to us is that the applicant's going to have to make improvements to his own entrance and the area on route on Warrington Road, and then commit themselves to make improvements to the Old Landing Road and the Warrington Road intersection.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's that big. That's that.
That'll right be turn required only, by Delta.
Right turn only.
Right.
Like a circular.
Yes, I'm sure much of this will probably be covered with the application and the testimony.
I know. I just wanted to know if we had somebody from Delta.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney with the firm of Morris James, and we represent the interests of the owner and the proposed developer of this tract. I want to go back to the last question, which is what was the density of Sterling Crossing? It's 6.29 units per acre.
Mm-hmm.
And there is contained in your exhibit book towards the end of tab one, a document that was prepared by the staff that shows the zoning, the conditional use or change of zone that was applied to particular subdivisions and the densities that are related to that. For the benefit of the record, I'd like to introduce for you at this time Mr. Hood, who is the owner of the property. I have also with me Mr. Lockwood, who is the principal of Lockwood Design and Construction, Inc. I have John Barwick, who is an employee of Lockwood, And last but not least, Roger Gross, who is with Meridian Engineering. We have provided to you an exhibit book, which may have gotten to you earlier than today. And if you are not familiar with the way this is laid out, let me briefly tell you that there are narrative letters describing the project, plan data, summaries. There are draft condominium documents. There's copies of the comprehensive plan for the future land use of this area, as well as the state strategies for policies and spending map. There has been a review by the Office of State Planning Coordination through the Preliminary Land Use Planning Service. This also was reviewed by TAC. DLDOT has participated in these responses, and Mr. Gross will describe for you in a few minutes how that works into this project. There are utilities that are available here at this particular site, and we will describe those also. And we have some environmental impact information that is provided to you in tab 8. As you have no doubt already heard before about this application, it is 35.45 acres, more or less. Of these 35.45 acres, 3.1 acres are in streets, 23 acres are in lots. But if you take the areas that are open space and undeveloped on the lots, the actual open space for this project is 21.17 acres, or 59.5% of the project. Currently, the project is wooded and has a single family dwelling on it. If approved as an MR, conditional use, then you would be able, or my client would be able, to develop the site with single family dwellings, and it's proposed for 60 single family dwellings, 82 townhouses, and a condominium type project with 60 apartments. Mr. Lank was asked a question about what are we giving up in order to go from HR to MR, and what was the concern that was addressed, and I will point out to you that the answer was correctly given. Had this been approved as an HR RPC, but the RPC had lapsed or had not gone forward, then this would have remained an HR project, and there was an expressed concern by the Planning and Zoning Commission that that was an inappropriate result if it were to take place. So by going with an MR RPC, or excuse me, conditional use project, then we reduce the density and we get down to the lower densities that are provided for in medium density residential districts. Under the terms of the state's or the county's comprehensive land plan, this is a developing area, and this is level 1 and 2 in the state strategies map. The roads in this project will be maintained by the Owners Association within the Arbor Lynn project. There is a master HOA provided for. DLDOT does not see the necessity for a traffic impact study, but there will be a contribution made by the developer to the area-wide study for all of this particular area. At this time, I would like to introduce Mr. Gross, who will come forward and give you the design engineering perspective on this project.
Pardon me, I'm just going to do a little reshuffling here.
There are some beautiful woods in here. Beautiful.
Good afternoon. My name is Roger Gross. I'm a professional engineer with Mearstone Consultants out of Lewis, Delaware. We're responsible for the preparation of the preliminary site plan as well as the exhibit booklet materials in front of you. I'm going to take a few minutes and talk about the site and also talk about the proposed site plan, as well as highlight some of the finer points in the exhibit booklet. The site consists of three parcels totaling approximately 35 and a half acres. It's located on the northeast side of Warrington Road, just west of the intersection of Old Landing Road and Warrington Road. The site is predominantly wooded. About 85% of the parcels are wooded. There's approximately 10 to 15% on the north side in the back of the property that is currently in an agricultural land use. There's also a existing residential structure and some accessory buildings located on the property as well. I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about some of the surrounding land uses. I'm going to start on the west side of the project along Warrington Road. There's a parcel of land that's owned by the city of Rehoboth, and that is their primary wellhead site. Moving in a clockwise manner along the westerly property line, there's a parcel of land that's currently in an agricultural land use. It's owned by BB Medical Center, which I believe at one point was an approved conditional use that has since lapsed. And then to the north, along the back of the property, is a land owned by BB Medical Center, which is the subject of a conditional use, and it's the current BB Medical Campus. Continuing in a clockwise manner around the property, you run into a multifamily residential development known as Sterling Crossing on the north side of the project. It's a conditional use for multifamily, and according to the record plan, it's been approved at 6.29 dwelling units per acre. That's a gross density. And then just south of that is the estates of Sea Chase Condominium, which is a rezoning to HR. And it has a density, according to its record plan, of 6.5 dwelling units per acre. And then south of that, adjacent to the property along the east on Warrington Road, is the estates of Sea Chase, which is it's a conditional use application. It's a single family development, condominium style development. And I believe the density for that project is 4.13 dwelling units per acre. We feel that our project, and I'll get into the site plan in a minute, but we feel that our proposal of 5.7 dwelling units per acre kind of fits the character of the area as far as the overall densities that have been approved by the county. In regards to the site plan, it's really kind of considered a transitional site plan where the less dense single family units are laid out adjacent to Warrington Road. As you transition to the back of the development, you get into the higher density units, the multifamily townhouses, and the condominium-style apartment units, also, which it seems to be more appropriate in that area. That's basically the north side of the project is adjacent to the higher density residential communities located to the west, and also the BB Medical Campus. There is a proposal centrally located for a community building with a pool and some other recreational type facilities. The roads will be private. They'll be built to minimum Sussex County road standards. The intent of the plan was to, it is a wooded site, and the intent of the layout was to try to preserve the integrity of some of the forested areas on the site. Currently, we're proposing to maintain a perimeter buffer of a minimum of 20 feet. Sorry about that, I'm not sure, maybe I'm getting too close to the microphone. A minimum of 20 feet, also some internal tree areas, which we're hoping we'll be able to also use as natural filtration systems, which is kind of in keeping with the new stormwater regs that were adopted in 2014. Utilities, sewer, were contiguous with the West Rehoboth Sanitary Sewer District, and approval of the project will be contingent upon us being able to be annexed into that district. County, I've had some dialogue with the engineering department, and the county has recognized that we'll need to do some pump station evaluations. Our probable connection point will be the pump station located on Warrington Road. which is just west of the project in front of the Estates of Sea Chase project. Let's see if I can point to that. And that pump station site is right here. And according to the engineering department, that will be our connection point. We'll need to evaluate the pump station.
Down there? Okay.
Yeah, I only have two hands, so it's...
Doug.
If anybody needs to see anything clear on the screen, just point that out to me, and I'll grab the pen and I'll circle it on the screen. But okay. That's going to be our point of connection for sewer. We've also... we're located in Tidewater Utility CPCN District, and they've provided us with a willing and able letter indicating their ability to provide us with both potable and fire flow required for our proposed site plan. And I think Dennis mentioned... some of the statistics for the site plan. We're proposing 202 residential units, of which a minimum of 60 will be single family dwelling units. There's 82 proposed townhouse units and 60 proposed condominium style apartment units proposed for the site. The site plan that you're looking at contains approximately 14.28 acres, or about 40% impervious cover. That would include the roads, the sidewalks, the building footprints, driveways, and any other impervious surface that you see on the site plan. And generally, that leaves approximately 21.2 acres, or about 59.7% of open space, which also would include any type of stormwater facilities that are designed, which are probably going to be passive type facilities or filtration systems.
But not something that can be used by the public. On the you talk about filtration systems, open space, and it's including, that's not available to the public for public use then.
Some of the stormwater systems under the new regs are passive. They're filtration type systems. They're not ponds per se.
Uh-huh.
So that would have to be looked at on a site specific.
Not necessarily for the folks to use for a picnic or something.
But generally speaking, some of the systems, some of the bioretention, mm-hmm. some of the filter strips, and some of the sheet flow to open space are. They're very passive, and mm-hmm. they would allow for, and they're going to be generally, if they're well maintained, will be aesthetically pleasing.
Will it look
pleasing.
Like a lake or something?
No, uh-huh. no, that no. is not, okay. that is, at least initially, that's not the focus okay. that we're going with out here. Pertaining to stormwater management, and contained in, I believe it's, contained in section 6 of your exhibit booklet, the new stormwater regulations, which were promulgated in 2014, consists of a three-step process. The first step is considered a stormwater assessment study report that the consultant prepares, submits to the Sussex Conservation District, and gets scheduled for a pre-application meeting. The purpose of that endeavor is basically to find out if there's any, it's more along the lines of like a desktop evaluation. You look at online GIS sites, NRCS web soil sites, and the purpose is to basically look for any red flags or any potential engineering challenges that might exist as you go through the design, the actual stormwater design of the project. One thing that we did find out in reviewing the NRCS web soil site is that we would expect to have outstanding recharge potential on these soils. So we're looking at infiltration, which I think by any account is a key component under these new stormwater regulations. So we're, and I think that that's evidenced by, if you look at what's going on surrounding this community, you have a large infiltration basin in front of the BB Medical Campus, which I don't know that I've ever seen hold water. And then you also have infiltration system in the Estates of Sea Chase on the other side of the project, which it seems to be a very adequate infiltration system that, you know, that works fine. So we expect to have great recharge potential and be able to infiltrate a good portion of our stormwater on site.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to try to switch.
I don't want to annoy you.
Oh, nice, you're not.
Nice
not,
presentation.
Not at all. Not at all.
But you talked about some land that BB was going to use. Has the land been bought from BB to do this? Or this is not any BB land that, because you said something about BB. And
well, this, if you can see the little hand that I'm circling.
Yeah, right.
That parcel is owned by BB Medical Center.
Right, but you're not buying any of that, taking any of that.
No, this is a separate parcel, or it's actually three parcels of land.
Just want to make sure. Okay. Now look out for our BB.
This is, and Dennis kind of touched base on some of the major points of the exhibit booklet. So this is the basic structure of the exhibit booklet. It consists of eight sections, and I'm not going to go through each and every one. I'll just make some brief comments, and then, you know, I want to spend a little time with the DLDOT correspondence part of it. Obviously, the first section is the site plan and all the elements pertaining to the site plan. Section two, we applied to PLUS, and we were heard at a PLUS September 2014 PLUS meeting. And it was actually the site plan that I previously had on the screen was the site plan that was reviewed at PLUS. And I am going to try to flip to that section because there's an important point that I want to highlight. PLUS comments. Okay, so far so good. And so we applied to PLUS, attended the PLUS review, and they responded, and we basically answered their questions, and we submitted a developer's response. This is basically the Office of State Planning's response letter, and I'm going to have a hard time reading that, I think. So I'd just like to highlight in their letter right here, which I can't really make out here, so I'm going to refer to my hard copy. They basically note that they acknowledge that the project is located in an investment level 1 and 2, according to the strategies for state policies and spending. And they go on to say investment level 1 reflects areas that are already developed in an urban or suburban fashion, where infrastructure is existing or readily available, and where future redevelopment or infill projects are expected and encouraged by state policy. Investment level 2 reflect areas where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans in the near term and future. And they conclude that paragraph by stating state investments will support growth in these areas. So the state feels that this is an appropriate land use for this particular site.
Do you think that'll be affected by the new widening of the intersection at Plantation and 24? I'm trying to place it in my mind. No, I guess not.
It will not.
Uh-huh. Okay. No. Thank you.
And since you brought that up, I think it's probably appropriate to talk about the DLDOT portion of the exhibit mm-hmm. booklet, which... So obviously, as part of the initial application, DLDOT submitted a support facilities report. The initial report, they didn't have the benefit of a site plan. The initial report came back indicating that a TIS would be required, but we subsequently held a pre-application with DLDOT and also submitted them some supplemental traffic information based off our specific plan. We also shared at that meeting our site plan with them and our plans. And as it turns out, we were eligible or are eligible to pay into an area-wide study fee. And generally, those fees go to the funding of transportation planning projects, not improvement construction, but planning projects in the area. So the developers agreed to pay into that. And generally, I believe that fee requirement is about $10 per vehicle trip, which means that that check's going to be for between $15,000 and $16,000 just for that exercise. Also, part of those discussions with DLDOT and the pre-application meeting, there was discussion over actual projects that are going to happen in the future, one of them being the Old Landing Road and Warrington Road improvement project that the developer will have to contribute to that project, as well as potentially some other projects in the area. And then just based off of what the project is adding to the road system, improvements to the road frontage of the property will have to be done. Most likely, with the amount of trips that we're talking about a separate left turn lane into the site, a right turn lane coming from Old Landing Road into the site, and also the developer will be responsible for building a multi-use path along the frontage of the property.
They're talking about that?
No, these will be, these are requirements.
So they'll have two entrances, you're saying?
No, there'll be one entrance, one centrally located entrance.
A right only, you'll have a right only.
No, it'll be a full movement entrance, but the developer will have to put in an auxiliary lanes in the form of a right turn lane off of basically coming from the intersection of Warrington and Old Landing. Be a separate dedicated right turn lane into the site. And then they'll be coming from Route 24 on Warrington. There'll be a protected left turn lane that will be required for left turns into the site.
An actual lane?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
But it's going to be needed.
Yes.
That's very crowded in there.
Yes.
All right.
And I think I covered all the points that I wanted to cover.
And we can count on that from DLDOT.
Well, I think you can actually count on it from the developer. In order to move forward with the project, he's going to be responsible for those improvements.
I like to hear that. Thank you.
Is there any questions about the site plan?
I didn't see a lot of open space, but I did see some green places, and then you have your stormwater, but were any woods left at all? You say you've preserved some of those beautiful woods in there, and it's sure is holding a lot of water that won't be held when the trees are chopped down. So
I'm going to try this. I don't know what's going to happen, but let me see if I can. Actually, we're looking at maintaining. Oh, it does work.
I just got the booklet, and I apologize.
Yeah, well, we're looking at maintaining a perimeter buffer. Yeah, that's not that great. And then we're also looking at maintaining some internal tree masses, and the purpose of these are basically to also try to use them as natural filtration systems for stormwater management. I mean, that's not going to be everything that we're going to have to do from a stormwater management perspective, we're looking at trying to maintain those internal wood stands to help augment that our stormwater requirements.
You know, as soon as you take woods out, it affects everybody in the area. You know, I'm just a remark, because I live in the area. I can tell you that it's lovely right there, and we're really going to miss it. we're looking at, is that something that we can count on, or
Well, obviously, we've got to get through all the permitting and engineering phases, and potentially some things could change as you move forward with engineering of the project. But that's the intent. Also, I want to make mention that the developer has a history in his projects of providing additional landscaping, probably over-landscaping some of his projects.
That's great to hear.
Quick question, Mr. President.
Sure.
Mr. Lank, what is the buffer requirements and differences, if there is one, between this proposed change versus the original one that was changed? Is there any differences in the buffer zone? I know in here it's 20 feet. So is there different requirements?
Technically, if it was a subdivision, it would be 20-foot minimum buffer around the perimeter. When you get into this type of application, they're proffered that they will provide a 20-foot buffer around the perimeter. It's not necessarily required by code. This is a conditional use, and it can be placed conditions on it, so the conditions prevail.
But the fact that it's in here, it is a condition, and it would be a requirement?
If it's a condition, it would be a requirement. Mm-hmm. As I said, if it were a subdivision, it's required by code. 20-foot buffer, certain number of deciduous, certain number of evergreen trees to be provided within every 100 foot. And that's the design that I'm assuming that the commission was considering as if it were a subdivision. Mm-hmm.
Right. And the conditions that planning zoning approved in G was for a 20-foot forested buffer, agricultural buffer.
Agricultural, meaning that live plants or...
The final site plan should also contain a landscape plan for all of the buffer areas.
Mm-hmm. And they're expecting that it would be the same as if it were a subdivision with the limitation every 100 foot, there's deciduous and evergreen trees planted to create a buffer effect.
Yeah. So that will be a requirement.
So, but to define that buffer, is it your intent as the applicant to have that 20-foot buffer to be these existing trees?
I would imagine that the intent would be to maintain as many of the existing trees in that buffer would make sense. And there is an area in the back that isn't forested that they'll be required to put, actually plant trees, and that's in the back of the project. Circle that. That's right here. Mm-hmm. And they're going to need to actually plant an agricultural buffer there.
So could you point out where on these buffers do you intend to keep the existing trees?
Well, we didn't locate specific trees on site, but we're looking in the...
I mean, you've got, this is all forested property, correct?
Correct.
By and large.
Except for about 15% in the back of the project.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, you know, the 20-foot, you know, buffer that you have referenced in the application here. So is that, I'm just wondering, it's in here, and you've got existing, of course, you know, trees there. So I'm just wondering, for this application process and the public hearing, I mean, what is your... where are you planning on keeping those trees?
Well, that would be, the buffer would be basically from the property lines into the site. That would be that 20 foot there. And just, I want to make mention that some of those, that's minimum, some of those areas can afford a larger width than
sure.
just 20 feet.
Okay.
Mr. Earle, let me refine you. The answer to that question, from my experiences in other jurisdictions where I've seen these applications, the difficulty with retaining the vegetation that's currently in buffers does not make necessarily for a good-looking or attractive or an effective buffer. And there is contained in this report a reference in one of the flora and fauna studies that appears in the tab that 99% of this material that's in the forest is Japanese honeysuckle vine, and it appears throughout. It's not necessarily quality buffer that you're looking for, that you're looking for, that
right.
you would necessarily keep. And I also live near a neighborhood where they retain the native vegetative buffer, and it's pretty rough looking.
Sure. Well, I mean, it goes back down to expectations from the public, the neighbors. I think it gets back down to expectations, you know, from all around. So I'm just wondering, and just very curious, because obviously, you know, there are woods, and I know from a marketing standpoint, that's also attractive too for buyers, but right. Prospective buyers. So I was just curious.
When this goes back, assuming for a moment that you all favor us with an approval, it goes back for landscaping or for site plan review. Yeah. Then landscaping will be a refined element. And as Roger has pointed out to you, there are 26 state agencies are going to get to deal with us at some point in time, and we can't guarantee to you that this project's going to look like that because of the effect of the regulatory schemes we'll have on each other.
What amenities are you going to have in the community?
Say again, please.
What amenities?
There is a pool and what else, Roger?
A community building, and there's interconnectivity with sidewalks. And just some passive area around the pool in the community building.
So community pool and the clubhouse?
Yeah, let me see if I can blow up on that.
You'll notice, Mr. Arlett, they don't let me touch the computer. It's a wise thing.
Me neither, so it's all good. We're in the same boat.
I went to the training. That's why I'm not doing it.
I apologize for the regen time.
No, I appreciate that. It's a little closer look.
I can try to get in a little later, maybe. Maybe not.
And could you point out, I believe I can see the
this is the main entrance, or the main boulevard into the project. You see the hand that I have on there?
Mm-hmm.
And then this would be the fountain, circular little driveway with some parking. This would be the community building. And this would be the pool area with some adjacent areas. And this is denoted on the plan right here as a stormwater feature. That's obviously yet to be determined. We may go through the actual stormwater process.
And then the single family homes are out front of the entrance along to your left and right. And then the town, could you point out the rest of the community, where these townhomes are and where the
sure.
condos are?
If you look at this road here, which is this road that is east-west, pretty much everything south of this is all single-family units. And then along the perimeter here, you have townhouse units. You have over here townhouse units along the perimeter, and then there's a block of townhouse units. And then in this area here, which is this block area, which contains the community building and recreational amenities, is where you have the higher density condo apartment style type units in here.
And then the townhomes, looks like you got quote unquote six packs, right? Is what I'm seeing there? Six per building on the townhomes is what I'm seeing?
There's some four.
Four and six, okay.
Let's see if I can get there. I'm struggling a little bit here. There's back here, there's some four pack units.
I got you. Okay. And then your condos, what are the height of those condos and how many units per building?
I believe they are 15 unit buildings. I believe there are three stories.
So single, one story, let me rephrase that, one level per condo? So that you've got three separate,
it's not like a, townhouse configuration. It's more of
right.
an apartment-style condominium. So you have units on all three floors.
Okay. In other words, you don't have...
Each unit would be a single floor.
That's the question. Yeah. Okay. So 15 per building. So five per floor, I guess.
Total the height's 42 feet, absolute.
Right.
Which is the allowable zoning code.
That's correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You are done, Mr. Wright. I have a question.
I'm done.
You know, we promote people walking instead of driving. And what about sidewalks? Will they be on both sides of the street?
We actually, a portion of the site, it's on both sides, specifically along the higher density area, which is this lobe here, which contains the higher density units as well as the community building. There's sidewalks on both sides. Out front, there are sidewalks proposed along the residential or the single family along one side. We also went through a detailed planning review by the planning department, and they suggested that we add some additional sidewalks, which this plan reflects. We added one in front of the townhouses here to the community building, and we also, they suggested, and we incorporated into this plan, a connection up here to the future connection to the BB medical campus as well.
Well, that would be convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we're talking about additional sidewalks in that you everywhere we're going to have them on both sides of the street. Did I understand? Which you said it differently than I'm saying.
Well, actually, no. Actually, the intent here on one side, it's less dense, and we want to try to incorporate some of the BMP practices under the new stormwater regulations. Mm-hmm. And
don't have enough space to put sidewalks on both sides.
Well, what happens when with sidewalks, generally it inhibits sheet flow from or runoff or using filtration type BMP practices under the new storm. The intent is to use these internal forested areas here, is to kind of drain everything off the road into these forested areas.
Mm-hmm.
And use it as a filtration system. Well, when you put a sidewalk there, it kind of inhibits that flow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one sidewalks on one side of the street and
just in the residential, there's up here north of this east-west road, you have sidewalks on both sides of the
mm-hmm.
street.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yes,
you don't have any kind of walkway around the entire thing like we have at Five Points. Hadn't considered that, had you? And they love it.
No.
They love it. You know, there's a walkway all around. And I believe there's many other developments that have that, and they're quite appreciated. But no, there's no plan for that?
None proposed at this
mm-hmm.
time.
All right.
Yeah, Ms. Stever, on item J of the conditions approved by planning and zoning, it states that the interior street design shall comply with or exceed Sussex County minimum standards and include sidewalks on at least one side
mm-hmm.
of all streets
right.
in the development.
Right, I understand. I keep seeing communities with sidewalks on one side, and I hope we change that because, you know, it does promote walking.
Okay.
Going back to our presentation, let me just point out again for you that there are contained within tab 2 of the book the plus comments that were given to us and the response that were made on behalf of the developer. There are TAC committee review comments that are also contained in this booklet for your review and consideration. And lastly, in tab 3, there are the ESDDOZ required comments and considerations. By way of a conclusion on behalf of the applicant, the density I think we have shown to you is compatible with that of the other neighborhoods. You're looking at 6.5, 6.29, mm-hmm. and 4.13. We're at 5.7, which puts us right in the middle of that. I would also point out to you that this property has been subject to a staff review. The staff review given on March 18th of this year indicated that staff had no objection to the granting or approval of this application. Lastly, there was from Commissioner Ross's motion from the most recent hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission, a very detailed reasoning for why this application should be granting and setting out the reasons for it. So based upon all of that, we have included in this particular booklet, as we always do, a proposed subjects or set of findings of fact and conditions for you to use as a matrix for any further action you may wish to take on this application.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Gross and I have been here answering questions, but at this point I would typically say, if you have any questions, we'd be glad to answer them. But
I do.
You have another one? Yes, ma'am.
Really, I don't want to pick on your project, but that entire area is so overbuilt, and the roads are so poor. And I don't think we're taking a look at what we're doing, and it's a mess. Old Landing Road, Warrington Road, terrible, overcrowded, overbuilt. Not that people that have property should be denied their rights, they shouldn't. But we have no overall consideration for people that are moving in. And so, just had to make that comment.
To that point, Mr. President, may I?
Mr. Arnett.
And as it relates to DLDOT, I know it was mentioned earlier in your presentation that DLDOT was not required or is not planning on doing a traffic study based on this application. Is that correct?
Based upon this single application, there is, however, in the works, an area-wide study. And I think Mr. Link will help me confirm this, but almost every project that's coming through in this area now is being asked to contribute financially to the proposed area-wide traffic study.
That's I remember that in 2009.
You and I go back to the Cooper Roads, man.
But I don't know where that money went because nothing got done on Sea Chase. Right. They all had to put money aside. Nothing's happened. So it's people get impatient.
I understand your concern, but I don't think that my client, Mr. Gross, or myself
not
are responsible for DLDOT.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
I understand.
That is a bigger fish, for sure. So, but in the end, could you just address what the response from DLDOT was that they as a department felt it was not required to do a study specifically for this application?
In lieu of a traffic impact study, the DLDOT is asking for financial contributions to the area-wide study of traffic in this particular vicinity. And secondly, as Roger has pointed out, there will be off-site improvements that will be constructed at the expense of the developer as part of this project.
And that was back to the $15,000 number, if I recall?
I think that's right.
That's contribution.
Right.
It's based on the number of trips that the project generates.
Gotcha.
And right now, the current version of the site plan, the math problem ends up being about $15,000 to $16,000 contributory effort to the area-wide study fee.
And at some point in time, based on your contribution and based on that study's the results, would there be additional contributions required by the applicant based on what DLDOT sees?
Yes, they had mentioned in our dialogue with them, also in the letter, which was the result of our meeting with DLDOT. They indicate that the developer will need to participate in off-site improvements. One of those projects being the Warrington Road, Old Landing Road intersection, and there might be other ones as well.
Sure. Okay. I just think it's relevant for the conversation, so, okay.
It's important.
Did you have anything else, Mr. Schrader?
No, sir.
Okay, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here that'd like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here today that'd like to speak in opposition to this application? Ma'am, you had